Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. It is 12/23/2021. It's a live show, and I'll tell you what. I want to start out by saying this. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And our Father in heaven took his only begotten Son and put him down here on the planet to experience his life down here and to provide an opportunity for you, the sinner, to have your blood washed clean with the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you what, you want the best deal in town, you get on your knees, repent of your sins to Lord Jesus, you ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. And if you do that, you're sincere, he'll start to wash you clean. And if you were to die or to lose your life at this time on this planet or in a battle in space or wherever you might be, you'd have everlasting life with him in heaven. Now that is the way to go. And I'll tell you what, I've been getting some good information from my brothers, some of them who said, Hawk, you know, you made it okay for me to come back to the Lord and for me to be, you know, walking again with the Lord Jesus. And that's one of the biggest things I have got to experience in doing this show over the years. But let me just say this. Can you imagine, for taxation purposes, that you had to travel back to your town of birth, and that by that time AOC and Joe Biden had taken away all your gasoline and all your ability to travel except by burro or horse or donkey or to walk? And in the middle of the winter, which, although it may not be quite as cold as it might be in some parts of the United States or Europe or Northern Asia, but the fact is they had to walk Joseph and Mary and to go. And then there was no room at an inn, and they had to go to a manger. And a manger is not like a cute little house necessarily. A manger would have been probably a cave, you see, with straw on the floor and with, you know, animals and stuff and the shepherds and things nearby. But, oh, let me tell you something. From humble beginnings, you see, you have the Lord Jesus, and there's power in the blood of Jesus. Now, let me just tell you what's going on, because at this time of the year, we are under a threat, and the threat comes, and when we look at the Bible, and I started reading this to you, first time I talked about it is when Brother Steve Quayle had me on air back in early 2004, maybe like May, May 2004, and I started talking to him about Ezekiel 38, all right? The Gog-Magog War, and then we went around the world, and we looked at different things of what would happen. And here we are, since 2004, I've told you about it. Chapter 38, Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord coming to me saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against them. Okay? Now, if you look to see where Meshech and Tubal came from, you're looking at an area, you know, in the steppes, near the steppes of Russia, okay? And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And that's hence you Masonic people out there where you get Tubal Cain. And was that Tubal Cain? Tubal Cain, was that a test tube birthed clone baby? Perhaps, we do not know. Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all then army horse and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands. Now, if the temperature gets a little in homes in Germany and France, if it decidedly gets a bit too cold here, now that the natural gas is no longer flowing to them from the Russians, you see, to heat homes or to run power plants or to what have you, you can see how Gomer, which might be part of Germany, part of France, Brother Quayle and I talked about this years ago, and the Hassetor Garmar of the North Quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee, be thou prepared and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought forth from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, that they shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and shall be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. And you see, that's verse 9. But in verse 10, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass, that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Oh yeah, from Texas, clear through up, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, on up parts of, Montana, and on up into Canada. That is the midst of the land, you see. That's the midst of the land, cattle and goods. And I think that is talking about the United States. Now, you see, that is scripturally where we're talking about, but I've told you in the past few weeks about the Russians, have I not? And if you're just new to the show tonight, then go back and listen to the archives back, each week of the two shows for about the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. At least since probably Thanksgiving, at least we were talking about it, but maybe before. So now here's what's interesting. We had the Russians coming down the St. Lawrence Seaway in some kind of ships that could offload mini submarines or small subs off the sides and then go into the Great Lakes. They can also put guys off in little boats, or they could just be a number of different ships and stuff. They could pretend to be a fishing vessel, or they could be a freighter that's taking something to somewhere in the Great Lakes, or is coming and with the grain and removing grain from, Minnesota or somewhere, and coming through the Great Lakes to go back out into the Atlantic Ocean through the St. Lawrence Seaway. And we've talked to you about how we need to start looking for these people, and then we detailed in the last few weeks of all these military planes and things starting to look, RC-135s, all kind of stuff, C-130s, C-17s, all kind of things going over the Great Lakes. All right. Going also, we've talked about the Smoky Mountains and how there were probably Russians in the Smoky Mountains, and the possibilities that suitcase nukes would be utilized possibly to blow the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority dams, to work on and destroy power grids and to do stuff, to sabotage. Well, now let's just plug in recent stuff here and say that on Russian state TV, one of Putin's ministers happened to say that if you keep pushing us, you don't go along with Putin's demands on, getting your troops away from our borders, then maybe we'll just go up into yours. And then if things starts, then you could just see that our hypersonic missiles will make sure to make radioactive ash out of all the NATO countries, okay? Now, let's talk some turkey here in a sense. And this is from Deep Background Signal Intelligence. Remember the original message that we first started talking about? I started telling you about it was like 911 slant or forward slash, but they used to say slant in the old days. 911 slant 31. And remember how we discussed how that might be? There were 30 days in November, and we didn't understand if it was going to be right then, or were they calling December 1st the 31st? Well, that panned out not to be, because then we talked about the possibility that maybe that was the 31st of December, which would be New Year's Eve, would it not? And then we've heard all kind of rumors, wars, rumors of wars, right? It's right out of Matthew 24. And if you have not read it to your family, if you have not read it yourself, read Matthew 24, Luke 21, Matthew 25, which is the prescription, preparedness prescription. Read Ezekiel 38, 39. Read Revelation, the whole thing. And some others, but let me just say this. Talking about the Russians again. Now, let me tell you what is interesting. The United States, the communication system, there is something called, basically, the National Message System. It's a national system of messages, radio messages, could come from any kind of, could come from a satellite, could come from CW, could come from RF, you know, radio frequency transmissions, any kind of way or ability to get on the message system. It's a single sideband national message distribution system that is not necessarily recorded. They don't track where this message comes from or that message. It's something where, let's say, just in a general usage, one ham radio aficionado, one amateur radio person wants to send a short message to somebody that says, see you at the ski lodge in Vermont on such and such a day. They could put that message up in a very short message, put over the national message system, and the other ham could get that and say, okay, I'll see you there, you know. But there's all kind of stuff. But it exists for short messages, too, that could be used in times of war or in terms of spy world and that kind of stuff, you know, like John has a long mustache or the chair's against the wall or whatever. It's sort of a message system that's a free message system. Well, the Russians are smart. They've been utilizing it. Oh, yes, they've been utilizing it. And then what's interesting, this past Monday night, all right, remember the previous message we told you? This was on the numbers station, remember? On the numbers station where they said, in the clear, 911, slant, 31, all right? That was back, right, right at Thanksgiving time, okay? Well, Monday night, this past Monday, just a couple, few days ago, basically they utilized, the Russians used the national message system, and it was kind of interesting. And the message was 311. Now, if you also know that they utilize our cultural stuff, and you go into 311, you go into like Justin Bieber and an album and some different things like that. But if you do, like you say, 311, what's that mean? And you go down the list, you say, aha, it's something about, listen to this. Fulfill your destiny. Fulfill your destiny, 311. That's like from a Justin Bieber album. Okay, I know that people say, oh, you're crazy. Well, let me tell you what. You're not crazy. 911, you know what that kind of thing means, an attack, slant, or forward slash, 31, maybe the day of the month. Is that New Year's Eve? I don't know. And then on the national message system, which is just very interesting, 311 which basically we're translating as fulfill your destiny. Now, these are messages going out to small groups or units, small military or GRU units inside the United States that are ready to do sabotage, that are sitting in Great Lakes fishing boats or fishing camps or hunting camps, or are sitting maybe on the Canadian side doing the same, anywhere from upstate New York, clear over to Minnesota, all along the way. And then we have the sabotage, alleged sabotage, of the steel plant there at Indiana Dunes, you know, on Lake Michigan. And then after we put this broadcast out, we saw all kind of U.S. military craft were dispatched to that area to search for what we were talking about. And you want to know what? Today they're still doing searches. Okay? We then talked about, went to the Smoky Mountains. We talked about how the Smokies and the Blue Ridge, and how Gatlinburg, there was tons of Russians down there, and how they likely started the fire in the mountains, you know, back a few years ago, above Gatlinburg. And how I had gotten information from different people from all the way from Gatlinburg to Waynesville and Maggie Valley and all of that. There was Russians all over in the woods. We'd also had information over the years how there were Russian units down in the Uwari Mountains near Troy, North Carolina, which is just a little bit not too far from Bragg, you know. So that's kind of interesting. So that was Monday night. And then now on Tuesday, this Tuesday, the Russians started a signal, kind of a complex signal. Are you listening out there? No such, you know, what is, you know, necrophiliac Shiite arseholes? Oh, everything, we use a satellite, Russian satellite. Well, I'm going to tell you how they're also using it. Because this is from old school, old time, Cold War, signal intelligence people, and not just one, but several. The Russians have a signal called, they call it the washing machine, because it's like, boom, 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 boom. It's like the impeller going back and forth in an old school washing machine. Boom, 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 boom. And it's like a low frequency and then a little bit higher frequency. And when you look at it on a spread spectrum. You look down on the spread spectrum, and then it's basically got about five different separate sections or parts to it, and each one of those has got about three parts or steps in it. It's a complex system. But now the problem is these young kids working for U.S. intelligence now and signal this, well, I'm not going to listen to that. That'll drive me crazy, okay? Yeah. Well, so did whale sounds, and so did all kind of stuff when they were looking for caterpillar drives, you see? Or when just any kind of a noise made on a continual basis, or the loading of a tube, or the flushing of a lid back on a missile, to hear that. You see, you wouldn't hear it today, because you're not paying attention, and you were never properly trained. We know you were never properly trained in the military and intelligence or in communications when the woman, back in 2004, when I got information from a signal intelligence person telling me that he overheard a conversation between the woman operator at Andrews Air Force Base and a P-3 Orion captain saying, I need to speak to your supervisor. I have an inbound Russian military and Russian bomber, Blackjack bomber inbound, 115 or 110 nautical miles off the coast of Virginia inbound. I need for you to scramble jets. And the woman operator at Andrews said, can't y'all handle that? He said, ma'am, I'm not a combat aircraft. I need to speak to your supervisor immediately right now. We're scrambling jets. Well, old Hawk went on the air with that information 1 minute after he got it, and we went on air that night, and every jet on the East Coast scrambled. So let me tell you what, you guys are doing good because you're listening now to feedback from the deep, dark background, the deep background boys who are still on the side of the United States or on the side of the West and the side of the Lord Jesus, okay? Now, this 311 message, Fulfill Your Destiny, goes out to all these groups. And then the next day, Tuesday, you get the washing machine comes on. That kind of a sound, okay? But it's real sophisticated. And then that thing lasted, the washing machine lasted, and it was a strong signal. It was strong. It was a signal that was rock solid, they would call it, okay? The guys would call it rock solid signal. But that probably was coming from Lourdes, the Lourdes Russian signal intelligence base on Cuba, where they have 10 trillion watts of power. They don't care if everybody in Cuba glows in the dark. They're going to get their message out, all right? But guess what? This was broadcasting on the 80-meter ham band, the 80-meter ham band at the top end of it, which is an end that's not used as much as the middle and lower parts of the 80-meter ham band, but it was at the washing machine was going out on that top end. But then as the evening time rolled around, more U.S. hams and other hams utilized that top part of the 80 meters. Some groups do, and the washing machine went off. Well, now that's interesting, isn't it? So then Wednesday, okay, just really interesting on Wednesday that you then have a P-8 Pegasus coming from the Patuxent Navy base flies to Wright Field. Patuxent Navy base P-8 Poseidon, Poseidon, which is designed to hunt for submarines along the coastlines. Submarine surface ships, and it's the latest top quality with the highest level sensors, microphones, cameras, etc. on it. And it flew to Wright Pat, sat down, and it's like it was there for a short period, picked something up. They loaded something on, probably, and then it flew up to Cleveland. Flies up to Cleveland. And then at Cleveland, it takes on, and at Cleveland, just so you know, there's a lot of UFO bases, a lot of UFOs in that lake up there that are basically seen quite a bit. But there's also high-tech stuff that's up there, NASA and different things that are up there. And so let's say they went to Wright Pat to upload or to onload some new sensors, and they went to Cleveland and got some new sensors, made a pass for a little bit over the lake there, and then they took a road and started going down the road. This is a P-8 Poseidon, one of the most sophisticated sensing aircrafts that we have normally for hunting submarines in the ocean, okay? And it flew from Patuxent on the East Coast over to Wright Pat, then to Cleveland, and then it started going to the east, okay, into where it was starting to head along a certain road, not the lake road, but another road just back from the lake a while, and then it was heading to where it was going on up into West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and upstate New York. And it was flying, listen to this. This is a large sensing-type aircraft, a surveillance aircraft, a P-8 Poseidon, flying at 2,000 to 4,000 feet. Now, you do not take this aircraft and you fly it from a coastal region and fly it up there for the kicks, okay? It's not a training mission. And then we also know that from other sources in like around Niagara Falls and that kind of stuff, that KC-135 tankers have been flying in and out of that old Air Force Base in Niagara. And so they could be refueling these planes, you see. And there's not only this one, but there's other smaller surveillance aircraft. But at 2,000 to 4,000 feet, that's not very high. This thing is cruising along, looking in wooded areas, in a road that goes through wooded areas and more mountainous type areas, West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, on up, and on up, you know, into like upstate New York and that kind of stuff. And it's been kind of on a racetrack up in there. All right? So now this is kind of curious, is it not? Well, then, today, Thursday, the washing machine is back, but it's now being confirmed by other people besides my initial source on it, who the Lord told him to listen and to look for this kind of a thing, and he started listening. It was directed towards it. But now others around the world are confirming this Russian quote-unquote washing machine signal. Can you imagine trying to listen to that? One of these pimple-faced NSA pukes, you know, after they've been trained down below in the devil's juice, all right, the devil stuff, after they came off the train when they were 9 or 10 years old because they were good at video games and given the full Luciferian rituals and all the training, you know. They ain't going to listen to that. So the washing machine is also, you can hear it, apparently, some people were hearing it, and this would have been for more long distance, not just localized to the United States. And if you're sitting in Lourdes, Cuba, and you got a jillion watts, you pretty much broadcast where you want to broadcast, okay? And it'll get heard. And it'll get heard by a lot of small groups. But at the 9 meg, kind of range for long distance, so that means this could be going into Europe and things as well, and the Middle East. Some people over in there are hearing it over there. And then also in the 20-meter ham band, okay? 20-meter ham band. And then, once again, during the day, also in the top of the 80-meter ham band. And so then we got the P-8s and stuff again, and we got others. Got one that came from Florida. Today it went on up into the area, and there's another area around Johnson City, Tennessee, in that area over there. And the North Carolina, Tennessee area, that area right there in Virginia, West Virginia, where they're looking for somebody on the ground. So if you're in the Great Lakes and you want to see something, take a look to see if you see any English speaking. They're not going to be talking, "Oh, comrade, I am not a Russian. I no, they're not going to talk like that. They're going to talk like they're from, they're going to talk like they're straight at no accent. Nebraska, Western Kansas, no accent whatsoever. Basic thing, okay? Basic English, very well spoken in English. Can't tell them by that. You might tell them by some strange, if you could look at them, you could see a different vibe and stuff around their head, a different corona in a sense, a different sense of vibration or beingness or of their soul, condition of their soul. You might spot them that way. You might see them in a trip up sometimes of a different kind of watch. It's a military watch, but it's not necessarily American. But I think they've corrected a lot of that. In the old days, they used to have the big military watches that still had Cyrillic symbols on them, okay? But I think that's been done. I haven't seen that since the 90s. But you got a lot of Russians, so you better keep on the lookout for them. And the old Mickey Lapua. Mickey, if you were near Gatlinburg, you keep your eyes out, buddy. And Mickey, if Mickey gets on him up in Gatlinburg from about 1,500 yards or 1,200 yards or what have you, and if he spots them doing something, Well, it's all over for Comrade Ruski, no matter how well he speaks English. So I got a spotter up in that area taking a look for me. General McCormick's got a message for you there, Mickey. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's like the game is afoot, my dear Watson. So I don't know if the exactly when or if the Russians 100% are going to attack us. But I know what Putin and his people have been saying. And he said months ago that he considered the Black Sea like his Great Lakes. And how would it be if I went up into your Great Lakes? Well, let me tell you something. They're there. Because you don't keep sending P-8s and RC-135s. And then also today, you're seeing C-130Js, the new 130. The J, C-130J, that can be travel with troops and that kind of stuff. But they also could be high-level sensing device-type planes. And also with military gunships. It's like Puff the Magic Dragon, or it's like somebody like that, or, you know. I mean, it's like light them up. Light the cowboys and Indians up, let me tell you. And they can lay down stuff, cruise missiles, hellfire missiles. They can lay down Gatling gun and other guns on the different targets. They can fly and get refueled. And some of them have been roaming around up there in those woods, in the wooded areas. And then some of them, another one, 130J, turned and went out over the coast, east coast, across the ocean, started doing racetracks out there. And that was by, I think there's an island out there where it's got I forget the name of the island, but it might be near Shoreham or somewhere near Rhode Island, you know, like in the Rhode Island area, Massachusetts, Rhode Island area, northern, coastal New York, that kind of stuff, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, that kind of area. And then that's starting to do racetracks out there, which it's also operating, in a sense, as a command and control plane, flying at low altitude to keep a watch on stuff and to be ready to go to guns or to missiles or to hellfire if they see anything in the woods, okay, or if they see anything around the coastal area. I think we got Russian subs out there. I bet they can talk to you about it at from Oceania, you know, Hampton Roads, and those people can tell you about it. Maybe the Treasure Island, the sub people, maybe the Groton, Connecticut people, maybe up in Maine, the sub base in Maine, they can tell you about it. But they're running P-8 Pegasus, and earlier in the past weeks, they were running P-3 Orions too, and they were bringing them from the East Coast into the Great Lakes. Now, what's interesting is that the P-8, after it went the right path that first day, you know, that would have been Tuesday or Wednesday. It would have been probably Tuesday or Wednesday. When it went to Wednesday, it went to Wright Pat, the Pegasus did, and then up to Cleveland, stopped on Atlanta for a little bit, then took back off, and then went up, and it's doing tracks, race tracks, up around the wooded areas of West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Virginia, on up in the upstate New York, that area, that whole area, the wooded areas. And down a little bit, you know, maybe into the Tennessee, North Carolina, that little part down there. And they're flying at low altitudes to try to pick up stuff and to sense stuff. Are they looking for suitcase nuclear devices? And then all along that Blue Ridge, which that's that Blue Ridge line coming off the Smokies and the Blue Ridge, and then on up into the into upstate New York, the Appalachians, that kind of thing. As they're looking at those, because that's the area that the GRU, the Russian stay-behinds or infiltrators, the illegal Russian GRU, That's where they were burying suitcase nuclear devices that they were going to use in sabotage.
Okay.
Now, this is these areas we're talking about, but let me just continue on. We're also seeing then, oh, what I was going to say is that the P-8, after it went to Wright Pat and into Cleveland and started up there into the area, then it turned its transponder off. So I submit that someplace or another, it got all of its stuff, got the refueling done, probably out of a flight from Niagara or Fort Drum or wherever, or maybe it took on fuel in Cleveland or Wright-Patterson, but I don't think it was on the ground that long either place. But it got refueled in the air, and then did its racetrack, turned the transponder off, okay? Then they can refuel them again. They can stay up, but then the transponders are off. If you're flying at 2,000 to 4,000 feet and you're in a more remote area, then you're not running into necessarily the paths of air travel commercial aircraft or even general aircraft would be flying generally maybe a little higher than that in a lot of cases. But they could handle that and just say, Apache, get the heck out of there, move up to 5,000 feet, dot, 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 you know? That could be handled on a one-on-one case-by-case basis. But the airliners are coming in at a higher level and then coming down and then descending into airports, okay? More populous regions. So not everything is appearing on the map. On the coastal areas, they're not appearing very much, but we know they're up there. We also know there's an E-6B in the center of the country that's running the center structure, okay? Command and control up. Probably somewhere North Texas, Oklahoma, somewhere in that area, the middle of the country. That's running the whole shebang, okay, in the center of the country. I would suspect that we've got one of these, somebody's up over the East Coast, and then certainly on the West Coast, there's people are up all the time as well. We're not seeing so much there, although let's go down to the Gulf Coast, okay? Now, four days ago, in a shipyard in Russia, a brand new, specialized, high technological, developed, the brand new Corvette-style ship that Mr. Putin was having built that was going to be outfitted with all the latest and greatest weaponry and different stuff. It exploded and caught on fire 3-4 days ago. Isn't that interesting? And then what happens at 1 a.m., allegedly an industrial accident, in Baytown, Texas, the Exxon refinery down there, which, interestingly enough, makes a lot of gasoline and different things. And that explodes and blows up and rumbles the windows and the ground all around. Now, isn't that an interesting possible alleged, let's just call it an alleged tit for tat, that also then would help to take out refining capacity to enable the United States in time of war to have fuels, okay? But it's tit for tat. The other takes out a highly advanced Russian Navy Corvette type vessel, a new type, like the literal type ships with the high technology weapons and all that kind of stuff. So there you've got a tit for tat. Well, isn't this Baytown refinery, isn't that the same one that a year or a little bit over, more than a year ago, in a tit-for-tat after a chemical plant blew in China? That didn't the Baytown blow after that, have an explosion? Maybe it was back in 2019 or something. Remember when the Chinese were trading back and forth? We had, what, 2, 3, 4 different things blow in the Houston area. Chemical plants, recycling plants, all kind of different stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, to all my friends down in Tejas and in the old Crossroads area, the old Crossroads, y'all did some tabletop exercises there and all over your state, I believe, dealing with if the refineries crapped out, what would happen? Now, the question one has to ask, allegedly, might one have to ask, is are there top-of-the-line people in the U.S. military intelligence or executive branch that are aligned with the New World Order people and perhaps aligned with Putin? And certainly they're aligned with Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party. So is this a tit for tat, or did somebody allow it to become one in a cycle and let them in a sense? And then wouldn't that be nice? Because then that would help the climate change thing too. You wouldn't, gasoline would be so much more expensive and people would have to just walk, you know, and ride their little bicycles or their one wheel. You could ride your one wheel or get your electric car. I'm going to tell you, people, you better get in the moonshining business and start to get you to where you can make 150 proof stuff to put it and run it through your vehicle. Alcohol can be a gas too, okay? That's Mr. Bloom, B-L-U-M. Get that book. Alcohol can be a gas too. But old Tim Smith out of Climax, Virginia, he made the gas all on air on the old Moonshiner program a couple weeks ago. Him and his old buddy, and they fired up a mini bike, and then they put it in an old tractor, gasoline-burning tractor. They mixed it with a little gas, give it a little better flavor for the engines. You got flex fuel? Hey, you could run on this stuff. It gets you down the road. And it got people down the road in the old days, during the old moonshine days, prohibition days, used to run the vehicles on it. So let's just say this. To the old Crossroads, the old Texas people, they are coming for the refineries. You'd better put extra security on. You'd better look at your tank farms, your pipeline, segments where they connect to your local tank farms or your local storage facilities, where you do your wholesale gasoline shipped out to everybody on the trucks, you know, they come into your areas. You better put extra security on. You better start thinking like there's a Ruski or a Red Chinese or an Iranian in every pot, okay? And around every corner, and start to think more like a World War II type scenario where they had Coast Guard and they had different people looking and they had air raid wardens and all that kind of stuff, particularly like in England and Europe and various places. You need to go on that level of security right now because there are, what do you call them? There are people in the wire, okay? There's people inside the wire. The Russians are here. Red Chinese are here. Iranians are here. Other Muslims are here. We had the Yemeni guy with the Oneida, New York EMS jacket on, the patch, the other day, coming across the border in Mexico. Somebody was smart and spotted him, okay? Now, how did Oneida, New York, which is somewhere near Albany, I think, how did one of their older jackets and their patches get down there on a guy from Saudi Arabia who's affiliated with the Yemenis, and the terrorist groups, and he's coming across our southern border with that patch on, that jacket, official jacket? Well, here's how. You know, upstate New York, there's a whole lot of Muslim encampments out in the boondocks where they train people, okay? In the boondocks, they train with firearms, explosives, hand-to-hand, physical training. It's like boot camps and, AIT camps, advanced infantry training camps, spy training camps and that kind of stuff for the Muslims. Well, don't you think that maybe somebody somewhere along the line was either the janitor at the Oneida Fire Department or, you know, Emergency Medical Technician Center or EMT Center, or maybe they were one of the people. Maybe they got hired as an EMT, you see. And then they kept their jacket, never gave that back, then they sent that on down the line. It makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? Or perhaps it was the local seamstress who they have to sew the patches onto the jackets. But all I'm telling you is it's about time you started to wake up out there. Military, police, intelligence, NSA. I got no hope for the EIEIO FBI boys. I got no hope for them because you're looking at all of the domestic terrorists that are attacking school boards, you see. You're looking at soccer moms and dads whose daughters were raped by heebie-jeebie 457329 transgender types in the girls' bathroom, okay? And then you attack him and throw him to the ground and beat up on him when he's trying to get the word out that his daughter was raped. And that's who the FBI goes for, American citizens. They don't go after any of the bad people anymore. They tried to take Trump out. And they did eventually get him out, didn't they? But that's a whole other story, and that ain't about the politics. And I think, still think, Trump was naive, and is naive, but maybe not so much now. He got the vaccines done, but the vaccines are not what you expect them to be. Have you seen the Health Ranger's latest one of his articles? I believe Brother Steve Quayle's got up there at stevequayle.com. And it's about the guy who worked for the Red Chinese government, intelligence. What's his name? The Harvard professor, Lieber or whatever, right? And this guy had all the patents. Let's see here. He had all the patents. Let's see where I'm at. Let me just not get knocked off the air here. Click it, but let's see. Harvard scientist, Dr. Charles Lieber, L-I-E-B-E-R. He was convicted yesterday on all six counts after lying to authorities about receiving millions of dollars from communist China as he shared his groundbreaking technology with a Wuhan lab technology institute. Also arrested were two Chinese nationals. One was a female academic, was also a lieutenant in the People's Liberation Army, and another person caught trying to smuggle biological weapons out of Boston's Logan Airport, and they were MERS, M-E-R-S, and SARS strains. And Dr. Lieber, okay, is a genius-level scientist who specializes, I'm reading out of Mike Adams, the Health Ranger's article, Dr. Lieber, genius-level scientist who specializes in exotic nanowire technology and how it interfaces with human neurology and biology. Some of his actual patent titles. And for all those who have looked at the videos from the German scientist, the German woman, or the guy Neowak who was murdered after he developed it, here's some of the patents. You've seen the blood, the pictures of the blood, the videos of the blood, where they have like ladders or scaffolds or carbon nanotubes that the red blood cells are encapsulated inside like they're in jail and that kind of stuff. But listen to this guy's patents. Controlled synthesis of monolithically integrated graphene. Oh, graphene oxide, graphene hydroxide. Graphene structure. Patent, another patent here. It happens to be patent 10,369. Or 10,369,255. Scaffolds, as in ladders, comprising nanoelectronic components for cells, tissues, and other applications. Another one here, nanoscale wires, nanoscale wire FPT devices, and nanotube electronic hybrid devices for sensing and other applications. Another one here, scaffolds comprising nanoelectronic components for cells, tissues, and other applications. And here's another one, apparatus, method, and computer program product providing radial addressing of nanowires. That means they can access them. Okay. And here's from Town Hall, citing the U.S. Department of Justice. Dr. Charles Lieber, 60, chair of the Department of Chemistry, Chemical Biology at Harvard University, was arrested this morning, charged by criminal complaint, with one of making a materially false, fictitious, fraudulent statement. Okay. In 2008, Dr. Lieber has since then served as the principal investigator of the Lieber Research Group at Harvard, which specialized in the area of nanoscience. And he received more than $15 million in grant funding from the National Institute of Health. That's Fauci! And the U.S. Department of Defense, the DOD! And then he's getting paid. As of 2011, Lieber became a strategic scientist at Wuhan University of Technology and was a contractual participant in China's Thousand Talents Plan. Okay? And what he does, nanomesh, neurology interface control systems, radial addressing of nanowires. Okay? Another patent by Dr. Lieber, apparatus, method, and computer program producing and providing radial addressing of nanowires. This allows for embedded AI systems. Are you listening to me? AI, artificial intelligence system, to control nanomesh lattices that interface with human neurology to both monitor, in other words, they can monitor you, or to control human beings. The technology was being transferred to China. Speculation is that nanomesh lattices could be inserted. Listen, are you listening? I want you to put everything down and listen. Speculation is that nanomesh lattices could be inserted into vaccines, and once injected, they would self-assemble into Neuralink-like computational interface systems that read and control human neurology. This technology essentially, this is in the article, would essentially allow Mark Zuckerberg to project his meta universe into your brain without using goggles. It is a full matrix-like scenario where these nanowire embedded computational systems could eventually read your private thoughts, your inner dialogue, and surveil the most private thing you have, the mind. And then it could also, you see, it represents the transhumanism and Borgification, making you into the Borg of humanity. It is the end game of the total enslavement and mind control at the neurological level, and it can be inserted into your body using hypodermic needles that are falsely labeled, quote-unquote, vaccine. This does not mean that all vaccines or injections are nanowire payloads, just that nanowire payloads can be inserted into such needles due to their nanoscale size. Carbon nanotube payload release systems can be activated by the 5G. Well, I'll tell you, I got that information back from Karen Kingston. Remember that, Karen Kingston? I think she was on Stu Peter's show or something. But she, you see, gave that information out, and the 5G can set you up. Now, we've seen all kind of now videotapes and pictures and microscopic enhancements of what's in the blood and what's in these vaccines. Saw it recently from the South Koreans. Saw it from the guy, Geonak, the scientist, who was murdered after he put his video out, okay? Murdered! ladies and gentlemen. This is getting really wild weasel, ain't it? So I'm going to tell you. I'm not taking any of these vaccines, not doing any of it, no boosters, none of it. You want to do all that stuff? Then what you're becoming is the Borg, and they're going to be able to control you. They're going to be able to juice you with the 5G or the 6G or the 7G. Remember Hawk saying this on air weeks ago? Be careful, ladies and gentlemen. Because you just might lose your eternal soul, you see. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And if you've taken them and you were interested in what might be in there, then you need to investigate that. And then you need to look at possible, there's no guarantee on this, possible mitigation of what's going on with the vaccine in your body. You might be able to use certain items. And there's different doctors, McCullough, Dr. Lopez, all kind of different people that are out there, Mikovits, could go up and down the line on the frontline doctors, all the different people are trying desperately to find something to help you if you've taken the vaccine to get it out of your system. There are parasites in a sense that become the parasites because they become a self-assembling nanotechnology graphene oxide, and then when negatively charged, graphene hydroxide, set of razor blades that when activated can turn on the cytokine storm and whatever tissue they're in and annihilate the area, and then the one doctor. Listen, don't go into Luciferian knife without a fight. Merry Christmas to y'all. Merry Christmas. The Lord Jesus is the reason. I'm not going to be on here on Christmas Eve. I'm going to replay this broadcast. May the Lord Jesus protect you against all evil. May the mighty men and women of valor use your high technology to strike blows against the enemies, Lord Jesus. And America. Bendigo Ranger, I know you're ready. Piccolo Pua, you're on point. And to all the points of drive, God bless you all. Road back well. Lord Jesus.